Well, good afternoon to everyone, too, that might be hopefully watching on the webcast. Hopefully you're having a wonderful Sabbath day, even though you can't be here with us. A little bit warm outside, isn't it? Who am I? I am nobody's friend. I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and I ruin lives. Who am I? I am cunning and malicious, and I gather strength with age. The more I'm quoted, the more I'm believed. I flourish at every level of society. Victims are helpless against me. Who am I? They can't protect themselves against me because, you see, I have no face. I have no name. To track me down is utterly impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I only become. I am nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it's never the same. I topple governments. I ruin marriages. Who am I? I ruin careers and I cause sleepless nights, heartache, and even indigestion. I spawn suspicion and I generate grief. Who am I? I make innocent people cry in their pillows at night. Even my name hisses. Who am I? I am gossip. I am called gossip, all kinds of gossip, party gossip, telephone gossip, church gossip, and of course now we have, I guess you could call it e-gossip, with Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever other names they come up with out there nowadays. It's so easy to spread gossip. Gossip makes headlines, and it makes headaches. These words were written by an unknown author. These words tell a lot about the seriousness and the damage that can occur through gossip. But what about the phrase I'm sure we've all heard, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Is that true? Of course, we all know that simply is not true. Words can hurt. Words can cut deeply to the bone, if you will, can damage us, can damage people's reputations, hurt people's hearts, people's feelings and emotions. Words can do tremendous damage. Harmful words can, as I said, can cut deep and cause lasting wounds. As carnal human beings, we all at times have trouble controlling our tongue, don't we? In so many areas of our society, the tongue is misused and utilized in a very negative way. And I gave a sermon a couple of years ago about the tongue, and in James 3 about how it's picture it as a wild, raging forest fire. Well, in that sermon, I did discuss a little bit about gossip. I covered many areas about that and the use of the tongue. But today, I want to go more in depth with the word gossip, the form of communication that can cause so much harm. You know, look at the political elections that are... You guys hear an echo? I hear an echo up here. I haven't heard before, but anyway. The political elections... You know, is there any smearing of people's reputations or their characters? Does that occur during an election period? Of course it does. People try to utilize gossip or innuendos or any type of communication to make the other person look bad so in essence they can make themselves look better, theoretically, in the eyes of everyone. It's used to spread rumors, like I said, into windows, to slander the other candidate, to hopefully in return get them what? More votes. Well, today we're going to see what's God's view of gossip. Is gossip okay as long as it's the truth? I mean, if it's the truth, if we're speaking the truth, doesn't that make it okay? Doesn't that make it right? Well, is that the case? We're going to look at that today. Why do we gossip? What do people hope to accomplish by gossiping? What is the cause of gossip? And what is the effect of gossip? Is there an end result that can occur when people gossip? And the all-important question we need to ask ourselves is, how do we rid ourselves of gossip? If we are guilty of gossip or whatever, how do we get rid of it? How do we stop it? How do we do away with that scourge that can divide congregations, divide families, divide friends, divide countries? Well, here at the onset, I would first like to say that my purpose today is in no way to correct anybody. I have no one person in mind, no people in mind. My purpose today is to inform, to encourage, to hopefully help us to see how bad gossip can be for us if we partake of it, if we have it in our lives. So I hope today to encourage you, to inform you, to lift us up, to help us to be able to stop gossip if we are confronted with it. Before we answer all these questions that I asked just moments ago and take a good long look at gossip, we need to define, first of all, what is gossip? What do we mean gossip? Well, here are some definitions of the word gossip. There's quite a few of them. I'll just read these. These aren't my words, but these are words that I'm defining gossip that I came upon. First of all, gossip is communicating unnecessary information at the possible cost of the character or reputation of another. Gossip is using the tongue as an underground radio station. It's sharing information about another person without their presence or their consent. It's a three-way conversation with one-third missing. One of my favorite. It's an unauthorized meddling, sometimes masqueraded as spiritual concern. We'll talk a little bit more about some of these later. It's discussing anything about another, the context of which would be altered were he or she present. It's a vial of poison waiting to be released into the body of Christ, or for any group for that matter. It's anything true or untrue shared about another which is unauthorized or unnecessary. And finally, gossip is an unacceptable intrusion into someone's privacy at the expense of their reputation. So those are just a few of the definitions of gossip. Can you guys still hear me? Okay. Of course, we all know gossip is not some new invention of our modern society. It's something that's been going on for a long time. You know, God's Word, the Bible, is full of admonition and examples in the Bible dealing with the aspect of gossip. Well, with gossip being defined, we need to see, what is the root cause of gossip? What is the cause of gossip? Well, to begin with, let's turn to a very familiar scripture back in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17. We probably all have this memorized. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You know, God is watching our heart. God is searching our heart. God is testing our heart. You see, our human heart, our human attitude, our human approach to things is basically wicked, as it says here in Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10. We're a carnal people. Our mind is enmity against God. I was listening to a sermon this morning by a pastor in another church area, but he was saying how that there is a constant, ongoing battle between Satan in our inner being, our heart, our minds, that's struggling as we struggle to offset the pulls and the pressure and the attention that Satan gives to us to try to steer us in the wrong direction, to make us do wrong things. You know, and that's why we have to be on guard, as Satan is always trying to take us off course, to make us do things that we know that we shouldn't do. And only after we are in contact with God and we have the power of God's Holy Spirit working in us and through us, you know, only then can we begin to do the things which honor and please God. So it is this wicked heart that directly affects the tongue. Turn now, if you will, to Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verses 34 and 35. There's a pastor in another church here was telling the story about a lady in his church area that was misusing her tongue, that was spreading gossip. She was insisting on spreading it, you know, just about between everyone in the church area. This little one lady had pretty much tore the church area apart. You know, she was close to making everyone mad to some degree or another at someone else. Some of the leadership had spoken to her, but with no effect. So the pastor had finally had to talk with her, and her response was, "Well, you don't have to worry about me saying anything else, because I'm just not going to say anything more. I'm just going to not speak to anybody. You know, I'm never going to talk to anybody again. You don't have to worry about me spreading any more gossip." You know, is there anything wrong with that response? Do you think she's missing the point? She's failing to see, you know, what she's doing. She's failing to see what the wrong that she is perpetrating. She wasn't trying to correct her problem. She wasn't trying to change her heart. She was missing the whole point. She had no intention of getting to the cause and correcting the problem. She was going to show this congregation, "You see, I'm going to show them. I'll just keep quiet and not talk to any of them and see how they like it then." Now, fortunately, this story had a happy ending. She did see the error of her ways. She changed. She repented. And is a member in good standing. And that's a great ending to an example. Anyway, Matthew 12 and verses 34 and 35. "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." So the cause of gossip, the cause of the misuse of the tongue, comes from within. It comes from our heart and our mind. It isn't the tongue or the mouth that's is the problem. It's what's in us. Let's look at Matthew 15 over a couple of chapters. Matthew 15 and verse 18, Jesus again says here, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." You know, our mouth generally says what's inside of us. All of us, sooner or later, will reveal what's in our hearts from the words that we speak, from what we utter with our mouths. Sooner or later, people will know where we're coming from, what's in our heart, what's in our mind, what's our intentions and our motives. Let's look at one more verse under this section. What is the cause of gossip? In James 4. James 4, and we'll look at verses 10 and 12. Here in James 4, the Apostle James is writing to the scattered brethren at this point, and he tells them in verse 10 of James 4, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Of course, this should be one of our goals in life, to trust in God, to humble ourselves before God, and let God lift us up. Now, you might ask, why did you pick that verse to talk about the cause of gossip? Well, isn't it true that a lot of people gossip to put others down, to push other people down, so in essence to lift themselves up? And that's not what we should be doing. We shouldn't be attempting to exalt ourselves above other people, should we? They come from the angle that if I can make this person look bad, it will in turn make me look that much better. Going on in verses 11 and 12, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Verse 12, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? So it's our place to be humble before God and let God lift us up. We don't want to be judges of the law. We don't want to be judges of our brother. But sooner or later, as we interact with one another, we'll say things that serve no purpose to edify or to unite. In fact, we'll probably do just the opposite. Our tongues will be used to tear down, to divide, rather than to lift up. You know, we're all going to make mistakes sooner or later. And, of course, that's not what God wants, as James warns us of that here in these few verses. So as the root cause of gossip, we have to look deep within ourselves. We have to look inside of our heart, our motives, our mind, and see things from the viewpoint that we are speaking what's in our hearts. So are we satisfied with what's coming out of our mouths, of what we're speaking, how we're dealing with our fellow brothers and sisters, how we're dealing with our co-workers, our friends, or whomever, or our fellow man? And that we have to be humble and allow God to do the lifting up, and not us. Don't be so worried about exalting ourselves. Let God do that. That's God's job. So how do we recognize gossip? You know, what does gossip look like? How do we know that we're witnessing or we're seeing gossip? How do we know that what we might be listening to, giving our ear to, how do we know that that might be gossip? Gossip is one of the most dangerous sins because it is so subtle and ambiguous. You know, a lot of people are unable to recognize it. They simply don't know it. They don't know that what they're doing is gossip. We need to watch and be on alert against gossip whenever you hear of someone mention that they have secret information or you hear someone else's name mentioned in a conversation, especially if they aren't present. You know, we need to be aware of that. That might be a case of someone that's spreading gossip. Gossip exists whenever persons talk about others in less than a favorable way. The root of gossip is negativity, which we've already learned comes from the heart. It's judgment of people, it's slander and such. You know, and those are things that we certainly don't want to partake of. So if you hear this, it's more than likely gossip. If you hear people talking about someone else, mentioning their names, or talking about someone else in a less than favorable way, then it's probably gossip in some form. Gossip often masquerades as concern for others. You know, rumors or gossip will seem more palatable if they first hide behind a pretentious expression of concern. You know, someone might come to you or someone else and say, you know, I hate to say anything about this to you, but I'm really concerned about so-and-so. You know, is that genuine concern? At other times, the gossiper will seek you out as their confidant. You know, unload their heavy heart. You know, they might say, I just don't know who else to go to. I have no one else to talk to you about this, but I'm really concerned about someone. You know, is that genuine concern? Or are they trying to stir the pot or to spread gossip? You know, don't take the bait. You know, don't allow yourself to get sucked into that vortex of gossip. Once you're in it, it's just a whirlpool. It's like, and it's hard to get out of if you allow yourself to get sucked into that vortex. In reality, the gossip is not sincerely concerned about the gossip, the person spreading the gossip, is not sincerely concerned about solving the problem. They're only concerned in talking about it, stirring it up, you know, stirring the pot. As I mentioned, a gossip thrives on the negative. They're controversial and it's sensational. They sensationalize everything. It's more interesting, more enticing that way. You know, if they can come to people and more sensationalism, something that's more enticing, then people are going to listen to them. But, you know, we all know that any person who is genuinely concerned about solving a problem will go and privately talk to that person. If you're concerned about someone, then, you know, one of the best ways is to go to that person rather than someone else. The gossip is like a spider looking for a prey to lure you into their trap. They may confide to you secrets or their private concerns about other people in an attempt to get you sucked into that web that they're creating. Now, perhaps you allow yourself maybe to get not in totally sucked in, but maybe you allow yourselves to listen to them for a little while. You have a half-hearted agreement with them, maybe about concerns they might have, or maybe you're enticed to confide with them secrets about maybe information that you might know about the person to add to it. Well, consequently, the gossip would eventually repeat this process to the next person. But you see, now then, your name is in the mix. They're going to use your name to amplify what they're saying. So, and it just goes on and on and on. Pass from one person to the next, and you're part of it. Maybe you didn't intend for that to happen, but because you allowed yourself to get into that web or that vortex, so to speak, you are now part of it. And they'll disclose secrets about you. You know, the people that spread rumors about other people, then they'll certainly spread rumors about you. You know, there are times when we, as friends, need to confide our problems with a close friend, that we can trust, and that's perfectly fine. But if you make a habit of revealing stuff to a gossip, then, they can't be trusted. Then that information pretty soon is going to end up out there everywhere. And with the, as I mentioned earlier, the Twitter, the Instagram, whatever, it travels rather fast. A person who gossips will betray your confidence sooner or later. So what are the side effects of gossip? Is there an effect of gossip? Well, probably one of the best ways to learn not to gossip, to learn not to be a tale-bearer, is to feel the effects of it. As we read in Proverbs 18, verse 8, you don't have to turn there, but it says, the words of a tale-bearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Adam Clark refers to the tale-bearer as one who whispers, a busybody, or a meddling croaker. You know, if you see people over in a corner over to the side and they're whispering, what's your first thing that goes through your mind? Or they think, well, they're spreading some good rumors, things about me. Most of the time you're thinking in your mind, they're either talking about me or someone else, or at least they're saying something they don't want me to hear. For some reason, they don't want others to know. They want to be exclusive. Now, meddling croaker that was mentioned is one who grumbles or habitually predicts evil or speaks evil to others. Their wounds go down deep into the one that allows himself or herself to listen and partake of his or her insinuations. Brethren, Satan thrives on juicy tidbits and half-truths about people. Satan thrives on gossip. So we have to be careful that we aren't allowing ourselves to be a tool of Satan. And I know none of us want to do that. None of us want to be a tool of Satan. We want to be a tool in God's hands. Bearing good fruit. Not spreading gossip. If we have felt the ill effects of gossip, we have one or two choices to make, don't we? We can have the attitude approach that, it's been done to me. I had to put up with it. So I'm going to do the same. I'm going to spread gossip about someone else. If it's good enough for me, it's good enough for somebody else. Why are they any better than me? Or we can say, it's been done to me. I didn't like it. I certainly didn't like the way it made me feel. It hurt me, and I certainly don't want to do that to anyone else. So those are the two choices that we have to make. And I think it's rather obvious which one we have to make. If this has happened to you, if someone has spread rumors about you or someone has been a talebearer about you and has hurt you in some way, then I'm extremely sorry for that. You know, that's not easy to endure. You know, I'm sure all of us have had it happen one time or another to some degree. But if this has happened to you, if you've been hurt or wounded deeply, I hope we make the right decision to break that cycle. Don't propagate it. Don't continue it on and on and on. You know, stop it right in one spot. Let it stop with you. Don't keep it going. And that's the big thing about gossip, how to stop it, is to make it stop with you. Somewhere, someone has got to break the cycle. Anyone can break the cycle. A spouse can break the cycle. A child can break the cycle. Parents can break the cycle. Employers, employees, bosses, friends. And yes, especially we as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can break the cycle. And we have to break the cycle. And breaking the cycle is not easy. It's hard to do. Sometimes for the cycle to be broken, someone has to feel enough pain from it. Sometimes we have to be hurt by it so badly that we say, you know what? The cycle stops here with me. I'm not going to allow it to go on any further. I know how this is making me feel. I know how it hurts. So I'm not going to let it go on. It's stopping here with me. I'm not going to inflict that pain on anyone else. No one deserves to go through that pain. That's how it needs to be our approach to stop it. If we're able to do that, then the pain that we suffered, whatever we've gone through, will not be in vain, hopefully. You know, if we've gone through that, then, and if we stop it in its tracks, if we stop it with us, then we certainly have accomplished a lot. So remove a link in that chain so this trend can't and won't continue at you or someone else's expense. Well, another effect of gossip is down in verse 17. Staying here in Proverbs 18. Let's read verse 17. He that is first in his own cause seems just, but his neighbor comes and searches him. Another side effect of gossip is it harms others because it's undefendable testimony. You know, any story can seem true until we hear the other side and get all the facts. You know, this is like going to court and someone accusing you and you not being able to give your side of the story. You know, it's like I mentioned, and I've given this in other church areas, it's like Judge Judy, you know, in her court, she hears the plaintiff's side and then the defendant wants to give his or her side and she says, nope, I'm not going to hear what you had to say. I'm going to make my judgment only what I hear from the plaintiff. You know, how would that make you feel? Well, that's in essence what's going on with gossip. It's undefendable testimony. That's why gossip is so wrong and even deadly, because it only tells one side of the story. The other person is not there to defend himself or tell his side of the story. You know, if you've ever been a part of a situation where a decision or judgment is made about you, and you weren't afforded the opportunity to give your side of the story, you know, it can be a very traumatic experience. It can hurt. You just don't understand. You know, how can that happen? So don't make rash judgments or decisions without getting all the facts. And most certainly don't try to get all the facts through gossip. You know, you probably aren't getting all the true facts. Now, you might think you have all the facts, but do you? And are they the whole truth? Have you ever played the game where someone whispers a sentence to someone? You know, if we started in this end of the row here and with a sentence and the time it got down here, it wouldn't be anything like what we started with. So imagine gossip, that happening to gossip, how things can get changed, how things can get exaggerated and out of proportion, and at the expense of someone's reputation, someone's character, and those are the things that can go wrong with gossip. And the longer gossip goes on and on, the longer that continues, the more damage that can be done, the more everything gets out of control. If you don't have all the facts, you most certainly aren't qualified to pass on information to others about others. So don't gossip about someone and don't afford them the opportunity to defend themselves. Or do not afford them the opportunity to defend themselves. So what is another effect that gossip can have? What is another way it can harm or destroy? Please turn now, if you will, to Proverbs 16, verse 28. Proverbs 16 and verse 28. A forward man sows strife, and a whisperer or gossiper separates the best of friends. Gossip can quickly end a friendship. Has that ever happened to you? You know someone that's, their friendship has been ended with someone because of what someone said about them, what someone else spread about them, that may or may not have been true. A good way to end a friendship is to violate a friend's confidence or destroy a friend's reputation through gossip. When we participate in gossip, we are subscribing to an underground newspaper whose sole purpose is to destroy relationships. And that's one reason some people have a lot of trouble building strong relationships, building strong friendships, is they can't, you know, control their tongue. They can't control what they're allowing to come out of their mouths. They allow themselves to be partakers of gossip and to sow strife and distrust among others. Over in verse 9 of chapter 17, it says, "He that covers his sin seeks love, but he that repents the matter separates very close friends." Here we're being admonished to promote love by not publicizing a fault if it's not going to accomplish anything but harm. If the information is not needed to make a judgment, then why bring it up or make it public? If we choose to repeat the offense of some quarrel or fault when it should have been long forgotten, you know, be prepared to lose close friends. Choose love, brethren, over gossip anytime. It'll make the situation better, much better, in the long run. Another effect of gossip is that it dissolves peace and causes tension. It dissolves peace and causes tension. Let's look at Proverbs 26 and verse 20. Proverbs 26 and verse 20, "Where no wood is, there the fire goes out." So where there is no gossip, the strife, the tension ceases to exist. For gossip to be able to be propagated, there has to be a receptacle, a person to listen, and a person of persons to receive that gossip. Be careful not to allow yourself to be a tale receiver of the tale bearer. In any case, the receiver is as guilty as the bearer. The fact is, if no one will listen to the gossip, eventually, you know, just as fire, if you stop giving wood or fuel, if you will, to a fire, it soon will go out. The same thing happens to gossip. If you stop feeding it, if you stop giving it fuel, it will cease to exist. Then it doesn't matter what we say is true. Sure, it may be the truth, but what is your motive? Will what you're saying have a positive outcome? Is what you're saying going to be something that's going to lift the person up, to help them to be a better person, or to help you be a better person, or whatever? It doesn't matter what you're saying. If it's the truth, doesn't mean it's the best thing to say. If it's not going to have a positive outcome, then we certainly don't need to repeat it. So just because of the degree of truth doesn't mean it will bring about a positive result, you know, from what you're saying. So don't be a gossip and promote tension in those around you, and, you know, and make others feel uncomfortable and not do something that's not going to promote peace. Well, gossip can and will disqualify us from roles of leadership. You know, if we're known in our community, we're known in our workplace, in school, or most certainly here in our church, You know, how can we function effectively? How will people be able to confide in us? How will people be willing to follow us? You know, if they can't trust us, do you think people will be willing to do that? Do you think people will be willing to get behind us if they can't trust us? I think not. People will be hesitant to be led by a leader that is guilty of being about gossip. How will others be able to entrust us in confidence, you know, if we can't be trusted? In 1 Timothy 3, verse 11, 1 Timothy 3, verse 11, we can read about qualifications of certain leadership roles within the church. 1 Timothy 3, verse 11. Even so must their wives, and for our purpose here today I'll add husbands, be grave, not slanderers, not gossipers, sober and faithful in everything they do. You know, it makes perfect sense in that it would be unlikely that God would use someone in a leadership role if that person was an assassinator of people's character, you know, a gossiper, someone that tore people down, that separated people in the church. It doesn't make any sense if God would use that person, at least at that time. You know, we all want to be tools, as I mentioned before. We all want to be used as God in a job that we're... That's why one reason why we're all here, isn't it? We want to be used of God. We want to have... But we have to be fit for that position. We have to be fit for that job. And that's why if we're a gossiper, then we're not entirely fit for that job, that responsibility. We can't be doing something that serves no useful purpose. We can't be doing something that can cause mental, emotional, or spiritual harm to others. You know, and that's gossip. That's what gossip does. Well, moving on, is there a penalty for gossip? Is there a penalty for gossip? You know, there are many verses in the Bible that talk about the penalty of gossip. Let's first turn to Leviticus 19. Back to Leviticus 19, verse 16. Remember, the Old Testament shows us the mind of God, and the mind of God back then was verse 16 of Leviticus 19. You shall not go up and down as a talebearer among your people. It's pretty plain, isn't it? Neither shall you stand against the blood of your neighbor. I am the Eternal. You know, clearly God was not talking about common social interaction. Remember, a talebearer is someone who goes about spreading rumors or falsehoods about someone. And you know, that's the whole purpose of a lot of magazines and TV programs we see on the TV today. Celebrity shows. Now there's blogging. How people have time for all this stuff, I'll never know. But, you know, there's a lot of these things, people earn money from these magazines and shows and everything at the expense of others. And that's really shameful. The poison goes down deeply and leaves people who read them or who feel the effects of them, you know, feeling distrust and hurt and shame and sometimes. And they grow to dislike the people. Maybe they grow to dislike the people that are behind the shows. And that's not an entirely healthy thing either. Let's turn now back to Romans 1. Romans 1. Here Paul is writing to the church at Rome. And he's telling them, because man has become wise in his own eyes, that he's perverted God's truth, and he's given them over to a reprobate mind. Here in Romans 1, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, which is bad character, whisperers. There is that word, whisperers. Verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, or the inability to appease, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, you know, knowing what would be the end result of what they're doing, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Here we see God puts backbiting, whisperers, and the like right in there with fornication, wickedness, and even murder as having the same reward. What? Death. So I think it's a rather serious offense. Look now at Psalms 15. Psalms 15. Psalms 15, verse 1 asks the question, Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? Who's going to be in the kingdom of God? Who's going to dwell in the presence of God? Who's that going to be? Verse 2. He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. So those that will be around God, those that will be in the family of God, will be those that speak the truth from their heart. Verse 3. But he that backbites not with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor. You know, this is the type of person that would dwell with God in his kingdom. Verse 4. In whose eyes is a vile person condemned, but he honors them that fear the Lord. He that swears to his own hurt and judges not. So he that's a backbiter, that continues unrepented of, will not be in God's kingdom. Notice Psalms 50. Psalms 50 shows that sometimes God doesn't act speedily on these things. God's very patient God. Sometimes he lets things go for a little while. He allows the rains to go out there a little bit before he makes a decision, makes a judgment, or takes action. In Psalms 50 and verse 19, you give your mouth to evil, talking to the wicked here, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. In verse 21, these things have you done, and I kept silent. You thought that it was altogether such as one as you, but I will reprove you and set them in order before your eyes. You know, it reminds me of the scripture over in Ecclesiastes that talks about, because God doesn't execute judgment speedily, the sons of man continue to do evil things and do things that they shouldn't be doing. You know, God is letting people get away with what they're getting away with in their own eyes, only temporarily. If you look around you in business, some people get away or get ahead, don't they, by backbiting. In politics, people get ahead by what? By backbiting. In religion, some people can get ahead by backbiting. These people might think they're getting away with it, but someday God will reprove them. So they're getting away with it, if you will, in their own mind, is only temporarily. Well, finally, is there a cure for gossip? How do we stop gossip? One way is to fill your idle time with good works, to be productive. You know, gossip is often the fruit of idleness. There's a lot of things that are wrong. It's the fruit of idleness. People may have too much time on their hands, and they don't have enough to do. You know, with idle time, one might have the propensity to dabble into areas and activities that would be considered gossip, might consider be a person that's a busybody, or just a plain meddler. The simple cure for the problem of gossip is to work. Work at doing good deeds of service, of being involved in serving your community, your church, your school, your children, all types of good works. Be busy doing those things. You won't have the time to be a gossip. Filling our time with service projects or just helping one of our family members, as we heard today, we have the opportunity, if you can, to help someone tomorrow. That can fill some idle time if you have tomorrow. you know, helping our brothers and sisters out when we can. We'll help supplant any idle time where we might have the tendency to do wrong things, such as spreading gossip. Now, don't get me wrong. If you don't go help them tomorrow, it doesn't mean I think you're going to be spreading gossip. It's just an example. But my point is that if we're sitting around and we're not busy about doing God's work, about being a good example, about serving our fellow man, then, you know, something's going to take over. Something's going to fill that idle time. And it might not be what we would wish it would be. Please turn now to 1 Timothy 5. And we'll read verses 9 through 14. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years of old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works. If she has brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work, but the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanting or to turn away from Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. Verse 13. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Verse 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Here Paul is saying or describing that some widows in the church might be qualified for special roles in the church, but some of the younger widows are excluded because they might have too much idle time on their hands, and they'll spend their time going from house to house gossiping or watching Days of Our Lives. I don't know what it was called back then, but... The point here is that idle time can be a snare for gossip if we aren't on guard, if we're about busy being a busybody. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 11. For we hear that there are some who walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Here we learn that, you know, if we aren't careful, we as servants of God or whatever can become prey to allowing ourselves to be a busybody if we aren't watching, if we aren't busy working, if we aren't busy serving and doing what, you know, the job we've been given to do. We have to be productive. If we're unproductive, then we might have too much idle time on our hands. So to cure gossip, we need to replace that idle time with work or some type of service to family, friends, church, or community. You know, we've all heard, I'm sure, the quotation, idle hands are the devil's workshop. Well, it actually is very true, isn't it? Idle time promotes more types of works of the flesh rather than fruits of the Spirit. And we need and have to turn that around, don't we? We want to promote, we want to bear fruits of the Spirit, not works of the flesh. Well, another thing that we can do to help stop gossip is not talk to someone who talks a lot. Let's look at Proverbs 20, verse 19. Proverbs 20, verse 19, he that goes about as a talebearer or gossip reveals secrets. Therefore, meddle not him that flatters with his lips. The NIV reads, a gossip betrays a confidence. So avoid a man who talks too much. Now, that being one who just blabbers on and on about everybody and everything. You have to be careful because sooner or later, he's probably going to be spreading gossip. You know, if you want your secrets to be in safekeeping, if you want your discussions you have with someone to be kept in confidence, you know, most certainly you can't tell them to a gossip. If you tell them to a known gossip, sooner or later, they're going to end up all over your community, or wherever. Another thing to stop gossip is don't listen to it. Turn now, if you will, to Proverbs 11. Back a few chapters. Proverbs 11, verse 12 and 13. Proverbs 11, verse 12. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A cupbearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. The Living Bible reads it this way: a man with good sense holds his tongue, while a gossip goes around spreading rumors, while a trustworthy man tries to quiet them. So the key to stopping gossip is not only to not participate in it, but to try to stop it at all at its source. How do we handle the situation when someone comes up to us and starts to say things to us that we might think in our minds, well, you know, this sounds a lot like gossip. What do we do? Well, a friend of mine from another church area told me how his wife handled it one time. Someone come up to her and started telling her about someone, and she put her hand up and said, I think you need to stop right there. There's one thing I need to inform you before you go on. That person you're talking about is a very close friend of mine. So, and it worked. The person immediately stopped talking about her and changed the subject and went on to someone else to try to spread it, I guess. But that's just one way. Is someone comes to you and if you think it is gossip, you know, stop them in the tracks if you have to. Look at Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26 and verse 20 and 21. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Where no wood is, the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer, where there is no gossip, the strife ceases. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. You know what, most people, after a while, you know, if they're coming to you with gossip and you keep slowly turning off that supply, you know, stopping them in their tracks, you know, sooner or later they're going to stop coming to you, you know, because you aren't continuing, you know, abiding in their gossip. You're not taking part in their gossip. You know, they'll quit coming to you with it because you're not continuing with it. You don't agree with them. And when that happens, you know, you've done your part to stop that cycle. You've done your part to separate that chain, to break that link, haven't you? To stop it right there. At least it's not going to be propagated through you. He might go tell someone else, but at least you have done your part to not propagate the rumors and the gossip. Well, just as we shouldn't listen to gossip, we also shouldn't repeat it. Most certainly shouldn't listen to it, but to repeat it, we certainly shouldn't repeat it. Look at Proverbs 10. Verse 12, hate stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. We really shouldn't go about saying things to make the gossiper look bad either. You know, we should treat the person that is a gossip with love, do everything that we can to show them they're wrong, but to do it with love and a right heart, a right frame of mind. You know, love covers all sin. We don't want to do bad things or say bad things about the person that is a gossip. We need to show the love to them as well. You know, just ask yourself, what would or does God want you to do? What does God want me to do? How would Jesus Christ respond to a gossip? Proverbs 11 and verse 13. Proverbs 11, verse 13. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Proverbs 17 and verse 9. Proverbs 17, verse 9. He that covers a transgression seeks love, but he that repeats a matter separates very close friends. You know, here we see the contrast between love and gossip. You know, and that should be our goal, to cover a transgression through love extended to someone else. Which way will we choose? What is our responsibility in all this? Of course, it's our responsibility to not repeat gossip, not to listen to gossip. We need to try to quiet the gossip, to shut the gossip down, you know, and end it right there. So let's strive to stop gossip by not listening or repeating it. Brethren, gossip is never acceptable to God. Don't be the link in the chain that propagates gossip and slandering. You know, gossip is a cancer that can and will infest the body of Christ if we allow it to. Let's be part of the cure for that cancer, that scourge we know as gossip. If we will, God will honor us. God will honor us if we won't listen to gossip or propagate it. Let's turn to Psalms 15. Psalms 15, verses 1 through 3. Lord, who will abide in your tabernacle? Who will dwell in your holy hill? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He that backbites not with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor. You know, God has a special place for those that lead a blameless life and that are truly sincere. Those that refuse to slander others, those that don't listen to gossip, those that don't speak gossip, repeat gossip, those that walk uprightly and doesn't do anything to harm its neighbor, those are the things that, you know, the ones that will abide in God's kingdom. You see, God takes gossip very seriously, and there's a reason why, what it can do, what it can accomplish if it's allowed to run rampant. And we as well should take it very seriously. So what are some things that we need to remember about gossip? Let's remember that gossip is as sinful as murder and will suffer the same consequences unless there is repentance. God holds you and me accountable for our words. The person who gossips to you about others also gossips to others about you. Gossip and slander disqualifies persons from spiritual leadership. Gossip often masks as pretentious concerns for others. Gossip often thrives upon secrecy. Where secrecy is removed, gossip is hampered, isn't it? Gossip always contributes to a problem and never to a solution. Gossip always distorts and exaggerates and is never a reliable source of truth. Those who gossip and slander are not in right fellowship with God. Gossip use their mouth as a weapon which is aimed at people to fulfill Satan's desires to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, it's an awesome weapon. It's a very powerful weapon. It's one that Satan likes to wield about to get the people to use to do his work, to do his dirty work. So let's please, brethren, let's not allow ourselves to be used as a tool in the hands of Satan. Finally, in closing, if you will, let's turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt... And I certainly would think that gossip would fall into that category. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We have to learn to control what comes out of our mouth. We have to learn to make sure that what we're communicating out of our mouths, out of our hearts, is truly from our heart and it's from our right heart. We must make sure our words are used to lift up. Make sure our words are used to edify others and to ultimately glorify God. Brethren, may God help us as we strive to avoid in every way the sin of gossip.